When I was a young lad in grade 2 at Foster Primary School down in South Gippsland, my family were a little unusual and we didn't keep Christmas, which is probably a bit of a, maybe not be a surprise to many, but not only did we not keep it at home, but we didn't participate in it at school. And this was something, things like Christmas carols and the like, I didn't participate in with the rest of my class. But one day we had art, as you do in grade 2, and towards the end of the year, and this particular art class, the teacher wanted us to do a Christmas drawing, and if you wanted to submit it in, there was a competition with all the school kids to put it in. And I thought, oh, I'm not really supposed to be doing this Christmas drawing, but I thought, oh, look, I'll just whip up something, and did a Christmas tree with a church next to it, and I'll pop it in. No one would know. All good. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, my mum, as I walked into the kitchen, she had a big grin on her face, and he said, "Aha, I've caught you." And I quickly went through. Was it the Milo that I had out of the tin? Was it the lemonade that was being saved for a special occasion that I'd opened, drunk a bit, and then topped it up with the water again? But, of course, before I could go through all my long list of crimes that I'd committed, thinking Mum didn't know, she brought out the local paper, and there was a picture of me, the winner of grade 2 with the Christmas drawing competition. Anyway, Mum thought it was a huge joke. She had a bit of a laugh, and when I realised that I wasn't getting into trouble, I too had a laugh as well. But it was funny then, the feelings of this not being involved with Christmas, though. I read recently Joe DeCotch put together a piece on his experience he had. This is just recently. He wrote in the GCI Weekly Update, and he recounts a story he had recently. While eating lunch with a pastor friend of mine from another church, we discussed his reasons for believing Christ's birth should be celebrated in September, not December. And he gave two reasons. One, Jesus was more likely to have been born on one of Israel's autumn festivals than at the end of the year. And two, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Joe goes on to write, "We discussed both assertions at length, and though he agreed that the word Christmas is not of pagan origin, it's from the Latin expression meaning Christ is sent, he would not budge from his position, which was based on his use of an argument known as the fallacy of origins, or the genetic fallacy, in which a perceived defect in the origin of an idea or thing is taken to be evidence that discredits that idea or thing itself. According to this faulty line of reasoning, the truth of an idea or thing is rejected based on its source rather than its merit." And he gives two other examples. Wedding rings were invented by pagans. Therefore, wearing a wedding ring is unchristian. The word cereal, as in breakfast cereal, our Cocoa Pops and the like, comes from the name of the pagan goddess Ceres. Therefore, Christians should not eat cereal. Those not realising the fallacy of such reasoning risk falling prey to the myths and misinformation that often surface when the origin of Christmas is raised. Even if the day is somehow incidentally related to less than Christian practices of the past, that association does not determine the meaning Christians, in the early church and today, attribute to Christmas. It's enough to know that Christ was born on a day in history, in flesh and blood, space and time, for us and our salvation, so that we might be born from above by God's word and spirit. By assigning December 25th, on the church calendar to celebrating Jesus' birth, we as Christians are able to celebrate together and then invite others to join in. Now, Joe Tkoch goes on. That's not the end of what he writes, and he has other information there which I won't go into today. But the comment of inviting others to join in, it's interesting. One of the scriptures I was looking at during the week, and it's looking at the account in Luke 2. And starting in verse 8, where upon Christ's birth, there is people who participate in that celebration. Now, Bethlehem, around that time, was a farming village of around 1,000 people. And just to think about what's around here, if we look at Coldstream or Yarra Glen, they would be a little over twice the size of what Bethlehem would have been back in the day. And, like Coldstream and Yarra Glen, servicing that little local farming community. So we're talking about quite a small little place and the commercial centre, so to speak, to service those people. A number of those people, not a huge number, but a small percentage, were shepherds. Now, shepherds in society then were not the upper class, you would say. They were more of an outcast and, in actual fact, would be most of the time removed from the community. They would be out in the fields tending sheep. So they would be subject to the usual things such as wild beasts and thieves that would be keen to take those sheep, but also the shepherds would be out there sleeping in the fields with the sheep. Not a particularly great job, but necessary nonetheless, and it would be those people who would perhaps not have found employment elsewhere. So if we have a look at what changed then on this Christmas night. So Luke 2, starting in verse 8. I'll read from there. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the people, the shepherds, had been chosen to celebrate this time. Those who were the lowly, the out in the fields, to come in and celebrate this time together, this birth of Jesus. It was interesting that the angel appeared to the shepherds, not the chief priests or the elders, but it was the shepherds who were chosen to celebrate, to participate in that landmark event of Jesus' birth. And what I particularly like too is that the shepherds who had been out in the field, they had the faith and glorified God by going into town and being able to spend that time. They believed. Now, Jesus hadn't done anything yet per se. He hadn't saved anyone, but they put their trust in him already. And so Jesus Christ, at his birth, had actually drawn in those shepherds from the darkness and into the light. So that's it, participating in Christmas. It's quite different to how it was when I was in grade two. And although a funny story, it is perhaps quite a contrast to how things are for me today. And this invitation that Jesus put down to participate in his birth. It's over to Matt now. Thanks, Matt.